All right, well, good morning again for the third time, right? Nobody went for the bait. Good, good, good. Like I said, we're thrilled about this morning with Life Change Sunday. You also get to look at this this mural here, which I know for LifePoint, right, this has become kind of a special thing for us. Again, like I said, my name is Cale. This Sunday is something that we do kind of once a year. We baptize folks all throughout the year, but Life Change Sunday is just sort of a special Sunday that we take an opportunity to celebrate, like I said, God's just activity in folks' lives. So this morning, what we're going to do is I'm going to take a break from our Beautiful Collision series. We've been walking through the letter of James, and it's been a great series so far. We will resume with that series next week. But this morning, what I'm going to do is take just really a few minutes to talk about baptism. We're going to talk about what it is, why we get baptized as believers, and then who should be baptized this morning. Alex may have mentioned this, but we've come this morning prepared with everything for folks who want to take this step this morning. So maybe you came this morning and you thought, man, I was not expecting to be baptized, but that's a step that you need to take. We brought everything that you need to take that step this morning. We've got folks who are already planning, and we hope and anticipate and pray that folks who maybe weren't planning this morning, but just know this is the step that they need to take. So we're going to walk through just kind of, again, what is baptism? So Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 through 15. If you have a Bible, you can go there. If not, it'll be on the screens here for you. This is Paul speaking to the church at Colossae, and he says this. He's speaking to a group of believers, and he says this: in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. And in the Old Testament, circumcision was kind of this physical sign that every male Jew on the eighth day, they would be circumcised. And it was kind of this mark that they were part of the covenant community of God. And so Paul's talking about that, but kind of symbolically, he says, you as a believer in Christ were circumcised with a circumcision not performed by human hands. Your whole self, ruled by the flesh, that is by sin, was put off when you were circumcised by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. Right there, we see this really beautiful symbolism of baptism, which we're going to talk about this morning, that we are united with Christ, not only in his death, but also in his resurrection. When you come to know and love Jesus, you become a new creature, a new creation in Christ. He says this in verse 13, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. This is just the gospel. Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us, he's taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. That, in very short form, is the gospel, that we are sinful. We say it this way here at LifePoint, that we are undeniably flawed and also unbelievably loved, that we're broken people who are sinful, and we've sinned against a holy God, but that God loves us, so he sent Jesus Christ to cancel the debt, to pay for our sin, and then he invites us into new life with himself if we'll turn from sin and we'll trust him. So Paul talks about circumcision. Again, in the Old Testament, that was this physical sign that marked the people of God. What happens in the New Testament is we see in the New Testament church, this really shifts to baptism, where baptism is this physical step that people would take that really symbolize this inward truth. People would become believers, and what we see in Scripture pretty repeatedly is this phrase, repent and be baptized. Turn from your sin. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. And then take this step to be baptized. To say publicly, I am a child of God. So when we ask the question, what is baptism? Here's how I've put it in your listening guide. This is the phrase that we've used. It's an outward expression of an inward reality. It's an outward expression of an inward reality. It's a step that a Christian takes that symbolizes their faith in Jesus and expresses publicly, I have followed Christ. I have turned from my sin, and I've been united with Christ in his death, his burial, and also in his resurrection. I think the kind of natural question that follows that is, okay, if that's what baptism is, it's this outward expression, this public declaration before the Lord, before your church, that I am a child of God. The question is, well, why? Like, why do we take this step to put people underwater and to bring them back out? What is the meaning and the significance of that? And I want to, there are more reasons than this, but I want to give us three reasons for why we baptize folk. The first one, honestly, is the most essential. If there were no other reasons than this, this would be enough. We do it in obedience to Jesus Christ. We do it in obedience to King Jesus. One of the things that Jesus tells his disciples in one of the most famous passages in the Bible, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, when Jesus goes away and goes back to heaven, he kind of commissions his disciples in what's called the Great Commission, and he tells them this: therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. He lays out this blueprint for what this looks like. He says, you go and you preach the gospel and you make a disciple, and somebody comes to know that they are sinful but also saved by a wonderful, loving, holy God. And he says the next step is that person goes public through baptism with their faith. It's that outward expression of the inward truth. You have been saved by Christ. So we do it in obedience to what Jesus says. We see it in Acts chapter 1 when Peter preaches a sermon and he says, look, the people say, what should we do in response to what we've just heard? And he says, repent, turn from your sin, and be baptized. The second thing is this: it powerfully symbolizes our death, our burial, and our resurrection in Christ. It powerfully symbolizes our the old person passing away in us, the old you being put to death in Christ, and the new you coming to life in Christ. Notice again what it says in verse 12. Having been buried with him, that is in Christ, in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Paul says it a little differently, and I think in some ways a little bit more straightforward. He says this: we were buried. We were buried, therefore, with him, with Christ, by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. You see, there's this beautiful and powerful symbolism that happens when we baptize somebody. When you are baptized in Christ, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, what it represents, what it symbolizes, when you go under the water, it symbolizes that the old you, praise God, is dead. That person is gone and buried. This is the wonderful part about Christianity. It's not a list of rules that says, here's how you get to make yourself better. Here's 10 things you need to do to improve yourself. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, it's an invitation to come and die. Come, bring your sinfulness, bring your brokenness, come and lay it at the feet of the cross and be given an entirely new identity in Jesus Christ. You put your faith in him. Jesus says the old you is dead. The old you with all your sinfulness and brokenness and your habits and everything that you just despised about yourself. It says it goes to the cross and you're nailed there with Jesus and the old you is dead and then the old you is buried. That's what it represents when we go under the water. And when we bring you back up from the water, it represents that you are a new creation in Jesus Christ. You've got a completely new self and new identity, and the old you is gone. You are not a revamped version of yourself. You're not a slightly improved version of yourself. You are a new creation in Jesus Christ. And baptism so powerfully symbolizes that. I think about it, if this is helpful, as a wedding ring, right? As a symbol. I'm married to Morgan, whether I wear this ring or not. I say that to say this: baptism doesn't save you, right? Whether you're baptized or not, we believe that salvation comes by grace through faith. It's a symbol. Just like I wear this wedding ring as a symbol that I'm married to Morgan. It's a public declaration of my commitment to her, of my unity with her. And in some ways, baptism is like that for the Christian. It's that public declaration through baptism that I am a child of God who's been united with Christ in his death and his burial and in his resurrection. And while I don't believe that baptism saves you, I do believe that the Bible teaches very seriously. Every time we see it in the New Testament, people get saved. They come to faith in Jesus Christ, to saving faith, and then they get baptized. It's the next step that symbolizes you and marks you as a child of God. And that's the third and final point there, because it marks us as a member of the covenant community of God, because it marks us as a member of the covenant community of God. When we take that step to go under the water and to be brought back up, it marks us, as in some ways as circumcision did in the Old Testament, baptism is that physical sign, that outward expression of that inner reality, of that inward truth, that you are part of the covenant community of God. So I want to close our time. I'm not going to talk for long, but I want to close our time this morning by leaning into us a little bit and just asking that question, okay, who should get baptized? I mean, if you're sitting here this morning and you're saying, well, okay, should I get baptized? Here's what I would say. We believe, we practice what we call believer's baptism. The baptism is something that you do by immersion after you've been saved. And so we would say it's appropriate for every Christian, for every person who has repented of sin, who wants to repent of sin, who wants to take that step, who has taken that step, to be baptized after they've taken that step, after they've come to know and love Jesus and come to faith in Christ, to then be baptized by immersion. So the answer is the same for all of us. If you're a Christian, right, you should take the step to be baptized. I understand that in our culture, the way that works itself out might be a little bit different for each of us, and maybe some questions swirl around this. So I want to try just to do my best to lean into that a little bit. Some of us come from a background where maybe you were baptized as an infant, and you're asking the question, okay, should I get baptized? And I would say this, we don't want to devalue or disregard in any way, shape, or form the value and the meaning of infant baptism. We would say this about infant baptism. We believe that really represents more so the hope and the faith of your parents than it does of you. And when we look in the New Testament, what we see is people first taking that step in faith, and then second, taking that step to be baptized. So if you're asking the question, hey, I've never been baptized as a believer, right? I don't think that you can really have faith as an infant, but I've never taken that step since I became a Christian to go public through baptism. I would say it's biblical and it's appropriate to take that step to be baptized. Others of us, maybe we're baptized by sprinkling or confirmed by sprinkling. And here's the thing, I don't want to get into any sort of theological debate about baptism and the mode of baptism. That is not the purpose of this morning. I'm simply saying that if you're asking the question, if that's you, hey, I was baptized by sprinkling, should I take the step to be baptized by immersion? Here's what I would say. When we look in the New Testament, every single time, as long as there was enough water, people got baptized by immersion. And I don't think that's totally arbitrary. I think that's because immersion so powerfully symbolizes your unity, your death, and your resurrection with Christ. You going under the water symbolizes the old you is gone. And going under the water represents that. And when you come back up out of the water, it represents the new you has come to life in Christ. It's a powerful moment. It's a powerful symbol. So I would say it's, again, biblical and appropriate. For others of us, and this is a bit of a tricky one, some folks who say, you know, and Kale, I was baptized as a young kid at 5, and I just don't know, like, should I take the step to be baptized? Here's what I would say about that. We don't believe that you get, like, a junior varsity version of the Holy Spirit when you're a young child. We believe the same Holy Spirit saves you at 6 that saves you at 60, right? And so I would say if you really believe that at 6 years old, you're like, as much as I could as a 6-year-old, I understood the gospel. And I understood that I was sinful and that I needed Jesus, and I placed my hope and my faith in him, I would say, no, I don't think you need to question that step. Praise God that at 6 years old, you understood the gospel and God saved you. On the flip side, I would say this. If you know, like, Cale, at 6 or at 7, like, my brother got baptized, so I thought I should. My parents told me to, so I did, right? I looked around and thought, I guess this is what everybody's doing, right? So I'm going to do that. I would say if you know, right, zero evidence of me understanding the gospel or getting saved, and sometime right at 18 or 25 or 35, I had that, and just that experience where I really came to understand the gospel and know and love Jesus, then I would say, again, maybe it's appropriate then to take that step as a believer and get baptized. And then the final thing I would say is this, for those of us, there are some of us here who, to be honest, like, we're believers in Christ. You know and love Jesus. You've repented of sin. You've turned from your old life, and you've come to new life in Christ. And for whatever reason, you've just never taken this step. You've held it off. You kept punting it down the field, right? Maybe later, maybe later, maybe later. You didn't maybe understand it. You didn't know. Like, I just didn't know this was the next step for me. So I want to say to you this morning, if that's you, I think this morning is the morning. We've brought everything for you. In fact, if that's you, right, or if you're in any one of those categories, if you're in any one of those boats, we're going to give you an opportunity this morning to take that step and be baptized. We brought everything that you need. You say, Kale, I don't have clothes. We brought that, right? I don't have a towel. We brought that, right? I don't have a hair tie. We even brought those, right? We tried to think of everything, right? I'm sure someone will go down there and be like, you don't have this. That's going to happen, right? But we've tried to think of everything to just remove all the hurdles, remove all the excuses. And look, I get it, right? Some of us are sitting there right now thinking, man, what are people going to think, right? Like, I've been a Christian 30 years, and here's what I would say to that. Ultimately, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. You need to be obedient to what Jesus has called you to do. And I think what we see in Scripture is if you're a believer in Christ, it says repent and be baptized. So if you're in any one of those boats I just described, and you're saying, man, I need to take this step. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to stand here and we're going to sing again in just a moment. We're going to sing and we're going to worship Jesus. There are folks who are already prepped to be baptized this morning, and they're going to head to the back. I'm going to invite you, if that's you, to walk to the back. As we stand up, right, we'll all be standing. It'll be really noisy. You can sneak to the back, right? No one's going to look at you. Nobody's going to stare at you and, oh, look, they're getting back, right? You can just make your way to the back. There'll be people there waiting for you. They'll take you downstairs. There are folks to pray with you and to talk with you and to make sure this is an appropriate next step for you. And you can take the step to be baptized this morning. And I would encourage you, I get it, right? I get there are all those, the nervousness and the reasons. You got to ask somebody to move in your pew, right? I get it. But don't let those things stop you from saying yes. If that's you, say yes. Leave it to the Lord. And let this be the morning where we as a church get to celebrate with you the reality of your new life in Christ. Let's pray together, and then we're going to sing together. Heavenly Father, God, I just pray, first, Father, for those who are taking this step this morning, God, we're so thankful for them, but ultimately, God, we're thankful for you, and we're thankful for what you've done in people's hearts and in people's lives. God, we are privileged just to be a part of this. This morning is not about any one of us individually. It's not about us corporately. God, it's about you and Jesus and what you've done at the cross, Father, that you are calling sinners to repentance, God, and you've made a way for us to have a right relationship with you through Jesus Christ. God, I pray for those here this morning who need to take this step, that you would kind of overwhelm the fear, overwhelm all the reasons of why we shouldn't. God, I pray for those this morning who they've been Christians 50 years, Christians 5 years, a believer and a disciple 5 days. God, for those who maybe this morning are taking that step to say, I understand that Jesus died for me, that he rose again on the third day, and that because of what he did, my sin is gone, and I am a new creation in Christ. And Father, as we stand to sing, God, I pray for those who need to take this step this morning, that they'll go back, that they'll do that, and we as a church will get to celebrate your activity, your goodness, and your love. And Father, that it'll all be for your glory and yours alone. God, we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.